Right, who of you were blessed by Anita's ministry? I thought it was brilliant. Some of the things, you know, Anita's got one of those ministries where she puts things in place prophetically. It's quite amazing. I've seen her do this before, where she actually speaks certain things in churches and literally puts things in place in the Spirit. And after that, there's like an, you can actually see the change that takes place in those churches. God's even used her in amazing things, to like with prophetic actions and that release things in the Spirit. And that's what the prophetic does. You see, the thing that we have to understand is that God does nothing without it being prophetically spoken. Did you know that? It's the word. God still operates the same way that He operated in Genesis. Let there be. And God still works like that. In other words, the things that happen are first spoken by God, and that brings it into being in the natural. And that's why the prophetic is so important. And that's why it's so important for us to pray, for example. You know, we think when we pray and we pray certain things and we announce certain things, it's God's way of bringing that in. Because God wants us to be participators in receiving from Him that which He wants to give us. You see, God is not going to force anything on us. God has made us free moral agents, and the Bible says very clearly, we have not because we ask not. It's that simple. You know, it's one of the things that sort of baffled me. In other words, that God actually comes along and says, okay, yeah, I've got all the stuff I want to give you, but you're going to have to ask for it. It's not just going to fall in your lap. It's not just going to happen to you, because your will has to be involved in this. It's God who works in us both to will and to do. You see, so God needs our will involved in these things. Even when it comes to prophetic words, God will speak a prophetic word over you, but it's up to you what you do with that prophetic word. And the first thing that we need to do with the prophetic is to judge it. Always. Doesn't matter from who it is. And I'll explain just now why it's important to judge the prophetic. But it's your responsibility to do it as an individual. It's the leadership's responsibility as well to check things out and to make sure that nothing happens that's not right. And in the thing of submission, the Bible is very clear when it speaks about the elders in the church. And it says that the elders will have to give an account for the flock. It's the elders' responsibility to make sure that there's not wolves in sheep clothing that come into churches. And it's the flock's responsibility to submit to the eldership to make their job easier. Okay. It's not to lord it over. You guys know the values that we have in the church. In other words, we're not going to tell you what to do or what not to do. We're not going to do, you know, Satan tries to push us and push us into things. We want to lead the church in the direction that God wants to take it. But it's still our responsibility to check things out. Now, I'm going to get to some of the things just now as well, but regarding Mimi, okay, I don't like doing this. I really do not. But Mimi forced my hand in this thing. I know Mimi not very well, but I know the things that God has shown me about her. And my first encounter with her was where she came here and she basically said that I have a word for her and I didn't have a word for her. She then proceeded to prophesy, try to manipulate me into prophesying over her. Then she prophesied a whole lot of stuff over me and over the church that were not true. How do I know it's not true? Because she put dates and times to it, and those dates and times are gone. One of the things that she said is that within a month, we would buy a building, the church. And when she said it, I looked at it and I thought to myself, we don't need a building now. It will be a liability, not a blessing. Imagine if we had to, even if we got it for nothing, imagine if we had a big building and we had to pay for it. With what are we going to pay? Okay? Nothing that she spoke was true. She used certain means to prophesy certain things. She actually fishes for information. Now, anybody that's in the prophetic will know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of things that you can find out about people simply by observation. A lot. Without operating in the prophetic, I'll talk to you for 10 minutes and I'll tell you stuff about yourself and that, and you'll think, wow, this is amazing. And it's not even prophecy or word of knowledge or anything like that. It's simple observation. Prophetic people are generally very sharp. They read body language. They read all kinds of stuff in it. And we have to be very, very careful because it borders on fortune telling. All right? After she brought the word, God did give me stuff for her. In other words, I had a tremendous... God showed me a whole lot of stuff. He showed me that she's in submission to no church, that her marriage is in absolute chaos, that she's not living with her husband, that her kids have alienated her because of a lot of things, that she has nowhere to stay and is literally moving from house to house, staying, that she invites herself to places to minister, and that which I confronted her on, and she admitted to the stuff. I told her at the time, I said to her, you have to get your house in order if you want God to bless you. You're ministering from chaos and trying to bring blessing into places, and that you need to fix things up. You need to go back to your husband, sort things out. You need to go back to your kids, sort things out. You need to go. You need to find a place to stay. You need to get order into your life. All right? She's done nothing about it. When I was informed that she's going to be here this Sunday, she ministered to Jack as well. Jack and him, there were some offenses as well that happened over there. She does not acknowledge the leadership in the churches. Her attitude is basically that the sheep are God's sheep, not the leader. She does not take into account that the leaders are accountable for the sheep, and that there's a thing the Bible says very clearly, submit to the elders. It's not a choice. It's not an option. She totally ignored that. We then requested that she does not interact with the church. David was the person that actually communicated that with her. She totally ignored that. She came in and ministered to people over here after we requested that she does not do it. All right. And so because of that, Jack and I both have conferred on this and that, and basically we feel that from our side we need to apply discipline, which means she's not welcome here until there's repentance. Okay? For Jack as well, and there's going to be some other guys in the thing as well. The stuff that she prophesied, some of it could have been true. I would question 90% of it, because of the method that she uses to prophesy. It's not true prophetic. It's not true word of knowledge. I've watched her. I've observed how she operates. How many of you guys did she tell, or did she say, have a magnesium shortage? Okay, some of the other people aren't here. I think there were about five people in the church that she all told the same thing. I've got news for you guys. Just about everybody sitting here has probably got a magnesium shortage. You see what I'm saying? That's not word of knowledge. That's not prophecy. Not at all. Are you guys okay with it? Are you comfortable with it? And we will take it further with her. Because I believe God is a God that restores and wants to fix things in that. Now, one of the things to watch out for with false prophets is the thing of, does it appeal to the flesh and to the pride inside of us? If anybody comes to me and tells me how great I'm going to be and how much money I'm going to make and how many houses I'm going to possess and all this kind of stuff, and that I will question it. The word that Anneli had for Yanni and that is a word that's been confirmed before and that I believe that was true. All right? And with it comes great, great responsibility. Yanni and I were chatting about it the other day. Yanni is very aware. The word that Anita had for them, sorry. And Yanni is very aware of the responsibility that goes with it. And that it's very easy. People say, oh God, I want lots of money, really. I've prayed with guys and for financial blessing because they believed that that's what God wants for them and that God actually wants to use them in business. And I've seen those same guys, God blesses them, God opens business opportunities for them, and I've seen them literally walk away and not give one cent to the ministry or to God or to anything, and just pocket everything. We had an experience like that in this church with one of the members in the church. And after God blessed him, guess what? Didn't see him again. And I told him at the time, I said to him, this is your last chance. This is the last chance to do things right. If you don't do it right, you're going to lose everything and you're going to live in poverty. I warned him. Okay, so the prophetic is not any of the gifts are not things to play with. And this is one of the things that makes me mad about this. People that come along and just prophesy like this don't realize the impact of their prophecies and the effect that it has in people's lives. Imagine you're desperate. Imagine you're looking for answers and somebody comes along and gives you something that is false and that leads you on the wrong path. The Bible speaks about false prophets. It says that they cause people to believe in a lie and rebel against God. Any word that takes you on a path that is not God's path causes you to go into rebellion because you're not doing what God wanted you to do. And that is why God will judge them. All right. So it's serious business. And I was prophecy is not something to play with. I was one of the things that I want to explain about the prophetic, and that's why I believe all prophecy needs to be judged, is just remember, a prophetic word, even though Anita brought a word in Afrikaans and she felt she must bring it across in Afrikaans for Yanni, the word is not actually received in Afrikaans or English or whatever. The language of the Spirit is impressions. It's very picture. That's why you'll hear prophets use the phrase, I see this and I see that. It's not even necessarily a vision. It's an impression that God gives that the prophet has to then verbalize in his own language or her own language. And in that, there's room for error. Okay, my dad had a word many years back by a guy that's a very, very well-known prophet, Rory Moll. He's Rory, eh? From Cape Town, yeah. Yeah, I think it's Rory Moll. And there was one specific thing in the prophecy where he said, I see, camper van things and that, and you traveling in a camper van and visiting the family. It never happened. The rest of the prophecy happened. But you know what? What he saw was a desire that my dad had. And oftentimes the prophetic will pick up desires in people's hearts and will verbalize it, and we think that this is what God wants. I speak from experience. In other words, there was a time where we were receiving a lot of prophetic word. We were in ministry and a part-time ministry and all of that, and we had all this word that people were giving us. But in the meantime, I was in pride and in rebellion at the time. In other words, there was no blessing of God on my life whatsoever, because the Bible says very clearly God resists the proud. And I was experiencing that resisting big time. Nothing was working. You see, but I had all these things, in other words, of ministry and what the ministry is going to be like and the blessings and all this kind of stuff. And guess what? The prophets came along and spoke that. Why? Because the prophetic can often times pick up what is in the other person's heart. And it takes years and years of learning with the prophetic to discern, and that and even then you still make mistakes. I had a word the one day for a good friend. Him and his wife came to visit, and they walked in through the front door. And as they walked in through the front door, I saw her, but I saw another person sort of overimposed over her. And this person was dressed like a harlot. And I would say, you know, dark makeup and dressed provocatively and everything like that. And the word came into my mind, adultery. And I thought, oh my word. You see, so imagine now, this is all I have. It's just that. Now imagine if I went to this guy and said, listen, your wife's committing adultery. What I did is I went and prayed and waited on the Lord. I didn't bring a word. A week later, they came to visit again. And in that week, God had given me the detail. And God showed me there was little things. He said, it's at the gymnasium. And he showed me there's a friend that goes to the gym with her. And it's one of the guys at the gym. And that this friend is basically almost like, oh, yeah, you know, that's a nice guy, this kind of stuff and that. But that nothing had happened yet. Gave me all that detail. So when they came around and that, I actually took him aside and I said to him, listen, you need to discern and judge what I'm going to tell you now, because I could even be wrong. And I gave him all the detail. He said to me, you know, this morning when I woke up, God told me that my marriage is under threat. And I was praying this morning that God would protect my marriage. He said, so leave it with me. That evening, he went to her and he asked her and he said to her, listen, is there anything, I feel that our marriage is under threat. Is there anything you need to tell me? No, there's nothing. So later, much later in the evening, or was it the next morning? Oh, yeah, sorry, the next morning when they got up, she said to him, you know, there is something that I think it could be. She said, at the gym, there's this one guy that's been coming on to me. And I've told him I'm married and I'm not interested in that. And he told me that just makes you more, what's the word? Desirable. And this other friend was sleeping around and doing all kinds of stuff, and that's supposed to be a Christian friend, and that, and was having a major influence on her, sort of like saying, oh, man, look, it's a nice guy, you know, why don't you go for it, that kind of thing. And actually ended up, that same girl ended up falling pregnant by another guy. And he could then share with her and say, that is it. That is the thing that's threatening our marriage. But you see why I say one has to be careful with the prophetic, that one doesn't take it wrong. Now, I want to, for example, just bring out one of the things with Yanni. Anita saw the thing of machines, with those of you that remember, and the selling, buying and selling of big machinery and that. And she brought the word almost as if Yanni is buying the machinery, because that's what she's seeing. It's not that she's prophesying false. I want you guys to understand that. She's relaying her understanding of what she's seeing. Yanni is in the business that Yanni has basically does valuations on big machinery and stuff like that for insurance purposes and that, and even where guys want to sell companies and they have to place a value on the equipment in the company, they have to evaluate that so that there can be a price determined for the sale of the machinery. Do you see that? Now, Yanni knew how the thing fitted in, so it wasn't a problem. But if one's not careful, you could take and you could have thought, well, hey, that means I must buy and sell machinery. Do you get the picture? We have to understand that there's a human element with word of knowledge and with prophecy. That's always there. And one of the most difficult things with the prophetic is to learn to really hear from the Lord. Use some of the external things if you have to, especially with counseling. With counseling, reading people's body language and all this kind of stuff is valuable. It's a God-given gift, and that, but one needs to be careful how you use it. Extremely careful. All right. It's one of those things that can be open for abuse. I don't know if you guys heard Jan one time mentioned, it's a course that you can go on basically how to get information out of people. It's used by the CIA, and it's used by spies as well. Right? It's been used for years and years, and it's something that you can now, can you believe it, that they've actually brought into churches now to use. So you can go on a course with this. Imagine how dangerous that is. Part of this course is that you can actually, part of it is to win a person's trust. It's amazing if you talk to people and you let them talk about themselves and show a lot of interest in people, how trusting people can become. Just like that. Because you're showing interest in them. And they'll open up detail, and it's quite horrifying when you see how much information you can give somebody in a very short period of time. And if any of you guys saw that thing where they warn the kids on Mixit and the internet and that, there's actually police that go around and go on the internet as if they're pedophiles and that kind of thing, and they actually go to these people's houses and say, listen, I traced you. And you must see the information. The one girl, they actually said to her, listen, the guy rocked up at her house, and that the only information that she gave was the school's name and the fact that she plays hockey after school and which bus she rides on and her first name. That's all. No other information was given. And on that information, he knew exactly which bus stop to wait at. All he had to do was wait after school, and he knew what afternoon she has hockey. And all he had to do is wait for somebody to pitch up at the bus stop with a hockey stick and that, ask a few questions about, is there a girl named so and so? Oh yeah, it's that girl. Followed the bus, watched where she got off, went to her house and knocked at the front door. See, now, it's like that. One can literally, you can ask somebody five questions. And with five questions, I can basically tell you stuff about yourself that is so private that you'll be absolutely amazed. All right. So we need to be careful. And that's why prophecy always needs to be judged. I don't care who it is. If I prophesy in the front here, you guys need to be judging because I'm human. I don't care who it is. You judge. And if you receive a word and that word is like, you think, oh my word, no man, this is definitely not it. Don't be scared to say so. It's one of the things where I differed with the prophetic guys when I attended a prophetic school. With Ed Trout, and they had some of the other people with them, and that were now the more seasoned prophets that actually had to now coach us and all this kind of stuff. And I have this thing, I like to interact with people. As you guys have probably noticed, I'm very much a one-on-one person. I actually don't enjoy visiting with 10 different people. I find it very confusing, you know, trying to listen to everybody and that, and especially when you're with a lot of women. You know, I don't know how women do it, but they can talk and listen at the same time. Us men can't do that. And so you're sitting in a group with where there's like five women, and they all five are talking at the same time. I don't know how they do it, and I'm trying to listen to five different people speaking, and my mind sort of just does a short circuit. Two people are still okay. So if it's a couple and I'm sharing with them, but then one is to talk at a time, you know, not both try and tell me something at the same time. Doesn't work for me. But I like to interact with people. I like to really hear what people are telling me. For me, it's important because I feel every person is really important. And if a person has made the time to see me, then I feel I want to give them my attention. And so when it comes to the prophetic, I like to prophesy in a way where I interact with a person. In other words, if I'm going to bring you a word, I'll bring you a part, and I'd like to hear, okay, can you identify with this? You know why? Because if you say to me at that point, Guess what? Stop. Because obviously I'm missing it. You see, if I'm bringing you a word and you just say, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Then I can do one of two things. Either I can just back off, or I can say, okay, Lord, show me. What am I missing? Sometimes it has happened where you bring across something and one's not explaining yourself properly to the person you're prophesying over. And so when you explain it a bit more, then they say, oh, yeah, no, now I understand what you're telling me. But that's why there needs to be an interaction. And one of the things that I was taught is basically you stand with your eyes closed and the person stands over there so you can't see their face, you can't see everything, and you just stand there and you rattle off the prophecy. I can't imagine Jesus doing that. I just cannot. Jesus was a very personal person that would actually interact with people and really care about them. All right, so I couldn't identify with that. I believe that prophecy is supposed to edify, it's supposed to encourage, it's supposed to build up, but I also do not believe that prophecy is always just good stuff. I don't find that in the Bible. In other words, sometimes prophecy is for the purpose of putting the finger on sin. But then it has to be done in the correct manner, not here, from the front. There was a guy in Joburg that we knew, remember him? He was in Tony and his church. I mean, this guy, he was accurate. He was quite an elderly guy. But but people were terrified of this guy because you never knew what he was going to come out with. I mean, he just stand there and in front of you and there's people around and that, and he suddenly just point his finger and say, listen, you're doing this and this and this and this, you know, and the people are, yeah. So eventually, I mean, you must check the people in the church. I mean, when this guy walks out, everybody's like, they don't even want to look at this guy. And Tony spoke to this guy and tried to, and eventually this guy upped and left and was offended by this. I don't believe that's the way God works. If there's a word that's really relevant and that I believe on one-on-one and where you respect the person and don't expose the person. Obviously, if there's no repentance from the person, then one needs to handle the thing publicly, and the Bible actually says so. Right? So it doesn't say we must do everything hidden away. But anyhow, I had an experience where there was a lady that stayed on our floor. We did a wedding cards, printed her wedding cards, and this was 6 months down the line, only 6 months down the line. After married for 6 months, yeah. And I walked past the passage, and as we walked past, she greeted me and she just brushed past me. Now, one of the things for the prophetic is contact. It often works on contact. Either eye contact or physical contact triggers the prophetic. And as she walked past, God said to me, God said, I knew that she was committing adultery with her boss. And I was startled and I sort of thought, and then I said, no, man, that can't be. She's only been married for 6 months. I mean, who the heck's going to go and... Yes, they're still in the honeymoon stage, man. And I just carried on and forgot about it. How long after that was it? 2 months, 3 months down the line. Her husband caught her with her boss. And she came crying to us because he filed for divorce. And in this process of comforting her and that, she said to me, she said, you remember the day you walked past me in the passage? I knew exactly what she was talking about, and I said, yes, I remember. She said, that day I felt so guilty because I was on my way for the first rendezvous with my boss. I didn't do anything. I didn't speak. You see, that's what I'm saying. The word of knowledge is often meant to confront people, you see, and that's the thing that we need to understand. Prophecy is what happens in the future. Word of knowledge is what's happening now and back, and that's why they dovetail. Okay, so the prophecy is there to show the direction and to say, this is the way to go. Word of knowledge is to help people to confront where they're at and deal with it. Sometimes the word of knowledge can be extremely accurate. I like it when that happens. And I've had a lot in this area of word of knowledge, maybe even more than prophecy. But I've had quite a few things happen that have been extremely accurate. The one I think I have shared with you guys was where a guy came to do business with me, an evangelist, and he wanted to do printing for a crusade in Mabopane. What's Mabopane? Yes. And as the guy was sitting there in front of me, it was actually the crusade manager. He had a crusade manager and an assistant, and they came to see me, and they were fancy, you know, nice suit, and they arrived there in the Mercedes, and they, you know, very fancy, nice leather briefcase and everything, and the guy took out the stuff, and this is what they want. And as they were speaking to me, the Holy Spirit just showed me clearly that they are defrauding people out of money. And I was sort of startled, and I just felt this caution, be careful. And I said to this guy, I said, listen, I'll do this for you, but I want a 50% deposit up front, which I normally didn't do. And the guy was a bit taken aback in that, and he said, okay, you'll have to get back to me, and they left. And I went to go and pray. I said, Lord, what's going on? And God showed me the whole thing. Showed me what they do, that they go and they arrange these crusades, get a lot of churches involved, and the churches pay for the crusades in stadiums. And these guys do the things, and they do the whole thing, and then the last night, they take up offerings all the time. In other words, every night they take up offerings, but the last night, they don't pitch. And they leave the churches with all the debt. So, lo and behold, the guy phones me. He says, listen, you know, okay, we'll give you 50% deposit. Can I come and see you? So the guy comes to see me, and these two guys are sitting opposite me. But in the meantime, God also gave me a prophetic word for them. And the word was basically that if they do not repent, they're going to be killed in an accident, a car accident, the two of them. Because it's extortion, and they're stealing people from money from God's people. Anyhow, so I confronted the guys. I said to them, this is what God showed me. This is what you do. And, I mean, these guys just sat there. Their eyes were this big. They didn't say a word. And they suddenly, no, we have to go. You know, off they packed and off they went. About an hour later, the crusade manager phones me and he says to me, listen, can I come and see you on my own? And he came to see me at the house. And he just spilled the beans. And he opened up and he said, I want you to pray for me, that God will spare my life. Total repentance and that, and he owned up to everything, and it was exactly what God showed me. I then phoned the pastor, because we were relating to some of the pastors, and there were 10 churches that were involved in this crusade. I went to the guys, I said to them, listen, this is what God showed me. They were so mad at me. They accused me of being a prophet of Satan and everything like that. They even got this evangelist guy to come in. This guy stood there and said that I'm basically that I must apologize to him and I must repent before everybody. I said to them, I will not, because I couldn't disclose that a guy had already given me information out of fear for his life and what could happen to him. So I just said, let God be my judge and let time be my judge. I said, if this does not happen here, then I will publicly apologize to this guy, to the evangelist. This friend of mine, Philip, I try to warn him, I phoned him how many times, but five churches pulled out, so five churches were left, including his church. To cut a long story short, these guys did exactly that. They pulled out the last day and left Philip with a 22,000 rand bill. That was 12 years ago. See. And these things happen. You know, and it's not, you know, when one wants to operate in word of knowledge and the prophetic, it oftentimes means that you have to confront things. It's not always all nice, contrary to popular belief. There's a teaching going around that it's always just to build and to edify and all this kind of stuff. Not true. If you look at the prophecies in the Old Testament, a lot of it was not nice. I mean, God comes along, the old one that we all know, Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30, and God says, listen, this is it. You know, if you follow me, I will bless you, I'll do all this stuff for you, but if you don't follow me, then, you know, you guys are going to get sick. You're going to go hungry. You're even going to die by the sword. Very nice, eh? Very encouraging. And then afterwards, God speaks to Moses, and he says to him, they're not going to repent. And I was, all the curses I spoke to you about, that's exactly what's going to happen to them. Didn't tell them that, but Moses knew. Not nice, eh? And oftentimes in the prophetic, you minister to people and God shows you things about people and you know the way it's going to turn out. But you know you have to speak to them in any case to give them the fair chance that they can't stand before the Lord and say, I didn't know. And that's not nice. It's not nice to know sometimes the bad things that are going to happen to people. You don't have to worry. I don't have anything about any of you guys that's bad. It is sometimes difficult with the prophetic because sometimes you do know a lot. What I do in the church, there's a thing where God generally speaks to me about everybody. And sometimes I will go and speak to the people and tell them, listen, this is what God has shown me. Oftentimes it's for my info, not for yours. And why I say that is because God wants me to build something into your life. And so God has to give me directions about what's necessary for your life. You see? So it's actually something, it's not a word for you, it's a word for me about what God requires of me to do for you. Because remember what I said about leadership. My job here is not to rule over you. My job is to serve you so that you can fulfill the calling that God has on your life. That's my job. In other words, the thing that's going to, I almost want to say, count for me one day when I stand before the Lord is when I can say, look, God, look what they did with their life. And that one, look what they did. Look what that one did. Look what that one did. You see, not, look, God, what I did. Totally different thing to what many leaders are seeking for in the world today. God is raising up servant leaders, and the prophetic, and that works alongside with it. All right. You guys okay with all this? Any questions? Yes, sir. You mean for us?
Yeah. On a sense, on a person that you say.
I don't believe that. Okay. The only things that are dangerous is for example, where times, you know, and like what she did with you and that. God doesn't work like that. God doesn't tell you, listen, you're going to live for so long. You know, there's one account in the whole Bible where God went to a guy and said, listen, what you've done has been a big mess, you know, and basically you're going to die. God didn't tell him when. And this guy then went to the Lord. Now remember, he didn't know when he was going to die. God just said to him, you are going to die. And what you've built has been basically wood, hay, and stubble, right? And then God came to him. And he repented before the Lord, and God came to him and said, I will extend your life by 10 years. But he still didn't know. You know, sometimes when God says, you're going to die soon, or if this and this is going to happen to you, there's a very good book by, what's that guy's name? Bill Hammond. Yeah. On time, you know, like in prophetic language. In other words, when God says soon, you know, we think tomorrow it's going to happen. Soon can mean anything from a year to 5 years or today could be, today is the day, you know, that could be like a year. It's God operates in a different time dimension. And so when it comes to stuff like that, like with that guy, it could have been 5 years down the line. But anyhow, God did extend his life, spared him another 10 years after that. But he still didn't know exactly when he was going to die. You see what I'm saying? In other words, there's the problem with that kind of thing, it's something that's used by spiritists and fortune tellers. And here is the dangerous part in it. You get what they call, autosuggestion. You guys heard of it? So imagine a woman gets a word, and the word says, listen, you're going to meet a tall, dark, handsome guy that's 6'5", and gives you a bit of detail. Now the woman receives that word, and so what does she do? Yeah, wherever she goes, shopping centers, everything possible, meet somebody, and that, and the whole time she thinks maybe this is the person. So a person like that comes into her life. Guess what happens? The person will then begin to pursue the other person. Now we know of an account like this that happened many, many years back. And if any nice girl comes onto a guy and is convinced this is the person for her, the chances are very good that the guy is going to feel totally flattered and is going to fall for it. That's exactly what happened in this case. See what I'm saying? In other words, we will oftentimes act in accordance. There was a woman that received a word that she was going to have 2 or 3 children. You remember that one? And that after the birth of her third child, she was going to die. This woman had her 3 children, and after the birth of the third child, she became very, very ill. Doctors examined her, and they couldn't find anything wrong with this woman. The woman eventually died. They did an autopsy. They could find absolutely nothing wrong with her. And then this whole thing came out, and her husband brought out this thing of the prophecy and everything like that. And they reckoned that she actually, because she believed it, her body actually went into dying mode, in a sense. And that's the danger of false prophecies. Okay. And that's why in the email we said, or the SMS, push it aside. Ignore it. There's oftentimes these words that are brought bring fear in of things. And oftentimes if there's fears inside of you, remember what I said, the methods that are used will oftentimes pick up the things that are in your own heart, fears that you have. And oftentimes we express those fears, the other person picks it up and runs with it and actually uses that to manipulate, because it's manipulation in the highest level, believe me. All right, it's wrong, it's sinful, it's an abomination before the Lord. Okay, so I would say just, it's too difficult. How do you know? There could be 10% of it that's true, but what 10%? The easiest is just put it out of your mind and say, Lord, reinforce the things in my life that are truth. And God will send the true prophets that will confirm the things that are truly of Him. All right. Yeah, but that's talking about ordination. In other words, and releasing people into leadership. It's not talking about that. There's no thing, sort of where something can come on you or some demonic thing that's now going to affect your life, where it was cursed or anything like that. Okay. Remember, there has to be a opening in your own life for that to happen. So I don't consider this a threat at all. I just think that's a lot of nonsense. That's all. And I want you guys to be aware of it and not pay much attention to it. Yo, baby?
The most obvious response to serious thing is, what about the people that you take from you? How does people come in?
Okay. If somebody comes to you and prays for you and you really believe that God's going to touch you through that, the chances are God will. Remember, even though the person that comes to you may be false, God still sees your heart. And so there can be a healing that takes place. All right. That's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily all bad. Okay. Yes, sure.
And there was a guy who had the gift of healing, and he was backslidden, and he came up to the bar drunk one evening. And there was a blind guy sitting on the street corner, and he went and prayed for him while he was drunk, and this
guy was healed. Yeah. I've heard of similar stories. You know, so that's what I'm saying. In other words, it's not to say that it didn't. I think three people were prayed for healing. One was Dawn. One was you, and there was one other one.
Now, many people aren't getting my one ear.
Yeah.
And often when God really brings me a wonderful word and he encourages me, then straight after that the enemy comes and somebody wants to pray for my ear.
Oh, is it?
So, and as this woman walked up to me and she started praying for my ear, I was like, okay, now I was confused. Was it, is it the Lord that's blessing me even more, or is it from the devil? And so she said, can you hear now? My ear is very warm because she keeps pressing it, you know. Not because of anything. I just think it's very warm. And then I thought, no, Lord, I know the devil has done this so many times, you know. And the support, you know, because he wants to bring disappointment, then I discard everything.
That's right, that's right.
So I just said, I'm not taking
it. That's right.
She said that Deborah is going to be very ill. And Deborah,
is she now? Look at that.
The most healthy child that I've got in the house. I mean, that's
yeah. Now imagine the fear that that puts in. Yeah. And I really pray, and we agree that that will not happen in the name of Jesus. In other words, that's rubbish. Okay. Dawn also, and Dawn said, like, there was a little bit when she left here and that, but she said by the time she got home, it was nothing. You see, sure. One of the things that she did as well, she asked to see my dad about. What is it? A month ago. Yeah. That's right. That's quite right. And she arrived here unexpectedly Jack phoned and said, she's here, can they want to pop around the inner area? And so she came around and that. And I was actually, to be quite honest, I didn't realize it was Mimi. He just said there's a woman with him and she prays for people for healing. And she said God told her to come and minister to my dad. And only when they arrived did I realize, okay. You know, but anyhow, then I didn't feel like, okay, what harm can it do at the time? So she went in and she prayed with my dad, and she was there for quite a while. And she came back and she told me that she just led him to the Lord. That was the one thing. There were quite a few things that she said that was all just absolute junk, right? And then she sat here. And we're talking now, and the next minute she gets this, like, you know, look on her face. And she says, I thought she's telling me something. In the meantime, it says, she said, he's talking to the Lord, and he's thanking God for me, and he's thanking God that I came and led him to the Lord, and he's grateful to the Lord for sending a prophet to him. And this, please, guys, all right. I must be honest. At that point, I felt like. Laying hands on her, but in a bad way, all right. Because I know my dad. I know my dad's been. I mean, my dad got saved long ago. I mean, I was at his baptism. God was used him prophetically. Sorry. No, you're 95, something like that. You see what I'm saying? In other words, so it's actually crazy. I actually wouldn't know. There's a possibility, I don't know. You see, and the thing is, guys, please understand my heart. It's not a thing of, okay, let's bash Mimi. Okay, it's not that. But this is the kind of thing, remember where in the Bible it spoke about the Nicolaitans? And Paul said they lazy, what did I say, lazy gluttons. And he said, stay away from them. You know, there's some accounts in the New Testament where Paul warned about certain guys. Remember that we're going around and we're basically bringing people into bondage, and he named their names. And it's one of those things that I just couldn't let slide. I'm sorry. Okay, so I mean, I will gladly, if there's repentance, I will bring her in and restore her and that kind of thing. But until that happens, no go. And so what I'm saying as well is that if she contacts any of you guys, just say, sorry, I'm not permitted to speak to you. All right. That's part of church discipline. That's the way it works. Okay. Jack and Nem are doing the same, and there's some other. There's been a record of this, guys. It's not the first time. Right, there's some churches that have forbidden her to even be there. They some guys that said if she had to walk through the door, they would actually get bouncers to remove her from the property.